Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back for another Journey on the Fly, the podcast. So our podcast is sponsored by, well, my guide service, which is Journey on the Fly Guide Service. Yep, you guessed it. Either way, please check us out at www.journeyonthefly.fish. If you have any questions, you can find a contact form there. You can also email me at adam@journeyonthefly.fish. We'd love to take you out on the stream and share what we have gained over the process of our fly fishing journey to this point. And that journey is never over. You can also find this podcast on all the great places that podcasts can be found, from iHeart to iTunes to Spotify to Google Play, yada, 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 as well as on our website itself. So, with that said, tonight I have a special guest. He is one of the officers of Pennsylvania Federation of Sportsmen and Conservationists. These ladies and gentlemen work very hard to protect our rights as conservationists, fishermen, sportsmen, hunters at the Capitol level here in the great Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. So tonight I have on with me Mr. Dwayne Dunmire. Let's get into this, right? So, Dwayne, you are part of, and actually clarify for me, so the Pennsylvania Federation of Sportsmen and Conservationists, we'll get into exactly what that is in a minute, but you, what part have you played in that, or still playing in that, as far as an executive level?
Sure. Right now, I am the vice president of the East Region. We have two vice presidents. Sean Myers is our vice president West. And, that's basically the western part of the state. Now, they did give me the liberty of taking the Altoona, Blair County, Bedford area, because that's where I'm originally from. So I have a few more counties, but I have an in there because that's where I'm from. So
I like,
that's my role as vice president.
I like that because... So part of my, one of my jobs is I started my own guide service and I'm originally from Center Hall.
Oh, okay.
And I'm hoping it gets busy enough taking people to central Pennsylvania that I can convince my wife to move back there. Cause right now I'm north of Pittsburgh and as much as we love it here, I also take that as a little bit encouragement that they were able to kind of shift things and get you to, your homeland, if you will.
Yes.
So, Dwayne, you yourself, so a lot of times I think there's a detachment that we see in, well, in a lot of fields, but politics is one of those things. And there's politics involved in all this that the PFSC does when it comes to the folks that are boots on the ground that are doing things and then what they're doing it for. You're not like that, though. You have a history of being a sportsman, a hunter, a fisherman. Am I correct?
That is so correct.
Do you have a preference?
Well, when I was growing up, you couldn't hunt till you were 12. And so I grew up with my mother's dad, my grandfather, and he took my brother and I fishing all the time. And we weren't your typical trout fly fishermen. We fished very different, but it wasn't about the fishing. It was about the time together. And so I love to fish. My brother really is the fisherman of the family. I'm more of the hunter. Now we both hunt and fish, but it seems like we took, something from our grandfather and got passionate about it. So my brother is way better fisherman than me. But we both do them together.
Okay, now we're not going to hold this next answer against you or for you for that matter, but do you have, so when you fish, are you spinning most of the time or do you do fly fishing?
Well, I do fly fish. Okay. I'm not good at it. But here's my unique upbringing. My grandfather was an old railroader and we sucker fished. And I know you probably have a lot of people out there, what's that? We would go and put two hooks on, blackhead worms, sit at a spot, a deep hole, sit there and talk, catch the suckers, put them in a net, And at the end of the day, we released them. And there was always ice cream involved afterwards on the way home. Now, I know that's very not attractive to some people. But as a young boy, we loved being with our grandfather.
Yeah.
So, I mean, all the time we were in his old cars and fishing Spring Creek, Spruce Creek, the Huntington County area. And we always got ice cream. And sometimes we stopped twice for ice cream on the way home. So, you know, it's you're not going to see any sucker fisherman guys at the outdoor show. But we trout fish. My brother still does. My brother travels a lot more to fish than I do. But and I fly fish. I'm not good at it, I'll tell you. But I try.
Well, that's all we're looking for, right? I mean, what you just said is – at the end of the day, fundamentally, that's what getting outside is about. If you're not bringing family or going with family or going with friends, man, I just think people are missing what I was on my way home from one of my jobs today. I was calling a guy about setting up a half a day on the stream. And It was interesting because he's relatively new to fly fishing and he's just exploding with all these, like, I want to ask this question. I want to do this. I want to learn that. And I told him, I said, there's two things that I want to interject right off the bat in your expectations when you come out with me. The first one is, well, let me start with the second because the first one is actually applicable. The second one is everything we do has intentions. We intend with hope to go out and catch a fish and learning different tactics to do so. But the first one is the most important, which is if you're going out to catch fish and that's what you think fly fishing is about or any fishing for that matter or any time outdoors, you've already missed everything along the way that it has to offer.
So true. So true.
So the tranquility, the camaraderie, everything you get to do with that. So I love the fact that it is obvious in your voice on how incredibly important it was to be out there with Pap.
Yeah, he was a great man, and he carried my brother and I across many a stream. And his older friends came with us. They're all past now. But I wouldn't trade those memories for anything in the world.
Now, do you have kiddos yourself, if you don't mind me asking?
I have three children. I have a 31-year-old son who hunts with me. I have a 27-year-old daughter who's a doctor down in West Virginia. And I was just down to visit. She's in school there, going to be a doctor. And I have a 20-year-old. That is in college right now, a daughter. So I have a son and two daughters. They're all to a degree outdoorsmen. My son got into kayak fishing on the Schuylkill River, which I've never done that, but he loves it. So, I mean, down through Berks County, he has a trailer with the kayaks on it, loves to do it. And then we deer hunt together. My middle daughter, we have done a lot of fishing together over the years. And my youngest daughter, of course, she was sort of like the only child left in the house. And she was with me a lot. And we fished a lot on the weekends.
Man, I love that. And I think we could all learn from that. You know, I have a 14-year-old. He said to me back, I want to say it was September. He said, Dad, he goes, when does trout season open again? And I looked at him. I lowered my head and I said, I have failed you, son. I said, yeah. Trout season never closes in this house. <There's> plenty of pace, but it was just exciting because, you know, you try to integrate it as part of your family, but you also don't want to push it so hard that you push people away. There's that balance you have to try to figure out and from personality to personality. And it's awesome to hear that at some level, all three of your children are appreciative of the outdoors.
Oh, it's a great tradition in our family. My brother has three children, and there were times that him and I, on the first day of trout, was behind six kids. And after the day, no matter what we caught, we ended up going to the local pizza shop. And just, you know, my grandfather had long since passed, but we continued that tradition of, you know, ice cream or pizza and just having a blast. And that's why the kids, I think, are still involved.
Yeah, so. that's fantastic. Because you know, if you set this thing up and you go out there and it's about harvesting an animal only and or taking a fish or something and you don't, man, the sense of regret and the feeling of a loss to people, especially kids, is going to be so much more terrible than the realization that it isn't about that alone. It's about, you know, just being together and growing and everything that the outdoors has to offer to us.
Oh, it's so true.
So what got you, so give us a little bit of a background, because one of the things that I love about Pennsylvania's Federation of Sportsman's Conservation is that it was it was founded by fishermen, and it was founded by fishermen because of pollution in the streams and stuff like that. They wanted to do something. Am I correct in stating that?
Yes. Back in 1932, they're called the Five Angry Fishermen. And you know, people can't relate to why they got started unless, like me, I've hunted Clearfield County, and there's some streams up there that are just plain orange from all the pollution. And these fishermen just said, enough's enough. And we want to be able to fish. And if we harvest a fish, we want to, you know, consume it. We want it to be safe. We want, you know, just clean water. So they started this to say, hey, we want our voice to be heard. So they started it, and, you know, we're almost 100 years later now. So it's a great story.
Wow. And what exactly is, in your words or however you want to describe it, what is the PFSC? And what are some of the and what fundamentally what do they represent and do?
Well, there's a lot of great groups out there. So what you have to do is start and you look at some of the national organizations. I'm an NRA member, but that's a national organization with a chapter in Pennsylvania. Ducks Unlimited, I'm a member. National organization with a chapter in Pennsylvania. Our whole book is Pennsylvania. And what we do is we have members, clubs, organizations that want their voice to be heard in Harrisburg. What are the concerns? How are they feeling? What do they want to see changed or instituted? And so our job is to represent them in Harrisburg. And we're all inclusive. And that means, like, I travel the state talking to groups and doing events, and I've talked to kayak groups, hiking groups. I went on a hummingbird capturing trip. Wow, what an event. That was awesome, by the way. And all these people have their niche, but their basis is conservation. And their basis is, when I talk to these people, they want their kids or grandkids or great-kids to be able to enjoy what we have today. And the PFSC is an organization that will be your voice in Harrisburg to ensure that your great-grandchildren are capturing hummingbirds or fishing in a crisp stream. Clean. So that's what we do. And we listen to concerns and we take it to the Capitol. We talk to the legislatures and let them know what the people are thinking, because sometimes some of these senators and House of Representatives, they don't know what the concerns are. So instead of them voting blindly, we talk to them, we present it. Sometimes they make their own decision and that's good. Sometimes we just give them information, but we represent people in Harrisburg so that you can stay on the range or take a hike or go fishing. Let us do the work for you so that we ensure your future.
And that's incredibly, like, from, so I would never classify myself as a tree hugger. And if you do, if somebody does that's listening out there, I'm not meaning that in a pejorative manner, but I am a conservationist, and I realize renewable resources and all these things must be protected. And what one of the things that's interesting that, when I'm looking over a lot of the things that the organization has done, there's something that I, unfortunately, growing up in central Pennsylvania, never ventured much north until this past year, which means I never get into Tioga and onto Pine Creek and all that. But interesting enough, if it's the Pine Creek that I'm even thinking of, I didn't look too deep into this, so you can correct me, where they're in reclassifying sections of pine. In doing that, stopped a lot of, I'm assuming all these things, so fill in the blanks if you know this, It stopped a lot of ill practices. It sanctioned off parts of these water and protected probably naturally reproducing fish and things of that sort to make them last better for the next generation to enjoy and so on and so forth, as well as taking stewardship seriously in the Commonwealth, not just taking advantage of a resource, but actually giving back and protecting it some so that it is there for the next generation. Is that a good understanding of that?
Exactly. Some of the, when you stock trout in a stream, they sometimes overtake the stream and then the native populations in danger are pushed out. And we have a lot of great fly fishermen that love to fish for native trout and they want these streams protected. So you do have groups like Trout Unlimited, but we have some of their members that are members with us. And, you know, we work closely. We don't work with the Fish and Boat Commission, but we work closely with them and have discussions with them. So you hit the nail right on the head.
I love the boots on the ground. I love people getting their hands dirty and being amongst the people and not just, like I said earlier, not detached from all this and just running a political ideologies. Like this is, to me, this is a real deal. This is the stuff that I think a lot of us, and me personally at times, we overlook of it and we don't think about it. And
that's true.
What would you say to, you know, to be honest to those that may, because, so one of my jobs, I'm a pastor. So one of the things you hear a lot out there when you bring these two subjects up separately or together, everybody likes to use the, and I think it's an adage from the 60s or the 50s. And that is, there's two things you don't talk about. And that is politics and religion, which my reply always is, those are the most important things to talk about.
Yeah.
What would you say to somebody that says, well, I don't want to be involved in politics, even though that alone is a political statement? What would you say to somebody when it comes to fishermen and hunters and conservationists, and they kind of have that attitude a little bit? How would you address that?
That's a great question. It's real simple. If you run for Senate or in the House in PA, they put you on committees. So you may get on a committee as a freshman senator for, say, aging. Well, if you've never had anybody age and have to go to a senior home, you don't fully understand everything. So you're making votes that you don't understand. And that's no reflection on them. They don't have the experience. Somebody that's never fished or hunted gets on the Fish and Game Committee. So you need people that with knowledge, not so much to influence them, but to educate them so they can make a better decision. So when people say, I don't want to get involved in politics, well, guess what? We have no choice as hunter and fishermen. We really don't. We need to get involved in a peaceful way with open dialogue. Let your concerns be known and let them know your concerns. So yes, politics, whether we want, and I was under the same impression, growing up, I didn't understand that the politicians had something to do with hunting and fishing. Well, they certainly do. And so the PFSE is the organization that provides education and lets people know in positions of power that, hey, this is what could happen with this decision that you make or the vote you take. So we're providing information and a voice. So you have to be involved in politics. Maybe you don't have to run for office or, you know, hold signs up, but let your voice be known. So that's where I'm at with the PFSE, representing the hunters and the fish, and let them say, hey, our voice is being heard in Harrisburg.
Man, and I will say this from a very personal standpoint, and that is I appreciate what you guys are doing. I really do, because, you know, we see a lot of, and Erie steelhead fishing is a good example of it when it comes to private land and purchasing and things. And I know that there's a political sense to all that when the Fish and Boat, who a lot of times, like the King Commission, you know, get their, you know, people just come dirty down on top of them. And they don't realize that how much work actually goes into a lot of this when it comes to acquiring access to acquiring land for the Commonwealth so that we can get in and fish, you know, where there wasn't fishing before. All of that is not something that happens by accident. That's organizations like the Pennsylvania Federation of Sportsmen, in a sense, giving that information like to these people to make those decisions. And man, I want to applaud you and I want to thank you. And I'm not saying that because I may never meet you personally and so forth, but it really matters to me. It does. And I hope you take that to heart.
Well, I appreciate that. And our board and all our members do. A lot of hardworking individuals that love different parts of our outdoors. I'll give you a great example. Never shad fished before. We have a group of guys, a couple were on our board, and they just live for shad fishing.
Cool.
You got to love the passion. We have the Pennsylvania Trappers Association. They're on our board. I've gone to trapping events, and the service, which I never knew, the service they provide to our communities, trapping nuisance animals or animals that would otherwise overpopulate, the passion these guys have. So to me, meeting all these people with a passion for their individual sport is overwhelming. It's an emotional rush for you, just like the hummingbird trip I went on. What an evening. These people love what they do. We caught 29 hummingbirds.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, to sit there and ban them, and this lady was, I believe, from Arkansas, telling us about hummingbirds. And there's hummingbirds all around you.
Oh, my gosh.
And these people love it. And every time I do an event, I post it on our Facebook page. And I get a lot of response, private messages. Like, how do you get involved in this stuff? And I'm living the dream, actually, to meet these people that just have a heart and a passion, from trappers to kayakers to hikers to people that love hummingbirds. That's the PFSC right there. We are a 2A group, but we want everybody involved. So we have a unified voice.
And so much like the ecosystem, with one thing goes off a little weary on the next, and it kind of dominoes effects. It's the very same thing, I think, that instead of us beating up on each other out here, this is a great situation, a great organization to get behind. And by the way, to everybody listening, they haven't dropped me a dime. They're not doing anything special for me. You know, I'm saying these things out of truth. I am a person who pursues truth at all cost, even my own pride. And I really think that the relationship that is here when we unify behind these things, just like you just said, Dwayne, that it's just incredibly vital. Here's a question. Since you've been there, is there a highlight that maybe it was something that got passed or something, information you got to the right person that really clarified an issue that made a major change that might not have happened otherwise? Is there one that maybe sticks out to you in your time with them so far?
Well, I think, you know, one of the hot topics was the antlerless deer license. You know, the pink envelopes are now a thing of the past. People wanted that upgrade. That's now going to be a thing. It is. They voted in Senate Bill 431. I also think the passage of the registration for the boat, that the license is now January to December instead of, you know, March 31st. So you have a whole year of your registration for, I think that's huge.
Yeah.
Makes it better for the fisherman, makes it better for them. We are seeing many things happen. The Saturday Monday opener is a contested issue for deer rifle season. And there's some good dialogue going on right now. And the PFSC is saying, hey, we think the Game Commission should make this decision and not our state politicians. And it's not a cut on the state politicians, but let's have the group that's in charge of over 400 animals and studies and manages those animals make the decision. So the highlight is the growth of our organization. That's the highlight right there, the growth and the information that we're getting out there.
That's excellent. Now, I want to get back to some of the other questions. I have some questions about, you know, some fishing stories and even some hunting stories, because you said you kind of picked up that more than your brother did. And that's important too, because this podcast is about life and fly fishing, and it doesn't always, fly fishing isn't always the highlight reel on here, and that's fine. But before we get to that, For everybody listening out there, what are some ways that we can get involved with this organization and help move it forward and everything that it's doing?
Well, I mean, we have a website, obviously. You can join there. You can visit us at the outdoor show here coming up. We're there 9 days. I'll be in the Altoona show at the end of February. Just give us a call on the membership page or on our webpage. Become a member so that you have a vote. Because I can tell you right now, there are things that our members have said, this is what we want, that I don't agree with. But guess what? It's not what I want. It's what our members want. Because that's how we are. That's how we represent people. You know, we need to hear that. We need to say, what are your concerns? And so that's why you need to get involved in this organization. We are all about PA. And those national organizations are great. I belong to them. But for minimal cost, you can have a say and empower yourself by joining the PFSC. Really, that's what it's all about. Do you want to be heard in Harrisburg?
All right. Well, I will put, when we're finished with all this stuff and this thing goes live in a week or so, I will actually put all the links to all that information so people can find that. And I love the tagline. The tagline, to me, says it all. On the front lines, so you can be in the woods and on the water. In the water or at
the range. So,
thank you, the range. And man, are those things important. And I have a couple friends that, if they're not listening to this, I'm going to make them listen to this because they are fanatics in the great sense of they just enjoy just doing that, going to the range and exploring the world that their forefathers left behind them, just the freedom to go shoot a gun downrange and to own them, you know, just if for no other reason, just because they enjoy having them, not because they live in fear and they're sweaty all night because somebody's going to, you know, come after them. It's because it's no different than somebody collecting little porcelain elephants at a certain level.
Right.
They love it. It was something passed down and, man, yeah. Interesting. So do you have, we'll start with the hunting story because I know that's a little bit more of your bent a little bit that way, aside from your brother who's kind of took up the fishing mantle a little bit more. Do you have one of those stories? And I don't care what animal it is, just give it to us, that just sticks with you, that really you're never going to shake it no matter what from your memory.
You know, as a older hunter here, I think you remember some of the, not so much the big bucks. I'll give you an example. A couple years ago, my brother and I were hunting. I was walking towards him. I was probably, way off. Well, I must have bumped a buck out, and it was with like 6 or 7 does. And my brother had his wife's cell phone with him, and the alarm was set to go off at 3:33 in the afternoon. He knew it was going to go off. Here, the alarm went off and all the does ran except the buck. And the buck must have heard it and wasn't intent, you know, to do that. But stuff like that. It wasn't a monster buck by any means. But stories like that, I think, is what makes Pennsylvania so unique. And some of the best stories, and here's another one. Everybody wants that 150 class buck. We had swampland in Altoona that we hunted called the Bottoms, and we rabbit hunted with beagles with my grandfather. And we always took our candy from Halloween and whatever. We always had snacks. Everything we did with our grandfather had food. And but to rabbit hunt and hear those beagles. To me, those are the stories that stick with me. And it's not, again, I've shot nice deer that had to go to the taxidermist. But at the same time, I think it's the little things, the hunting camp stories, the beagles, the rabbits that you missed and getting your shirt tail cut off. You know, to me, how can you go wrong with those stories?
That reminds me. So my great-grandfather, Will Dobson, he lived up on Center Hall Mountain, and he owned quite a bit of land originally. He was 96 or 97 when he passed, and he'd probably still be alive today, but he fell down steps and ended up with an aneurysm they couldn't operate on. But I remember the very first day I ever went hunting, he took us out in the woods. He sat me down. It was on a, I want to say there was a plank or something. He had me sit down on it, and I leaned up against the tree, and he took my dad down a little bit further, and a few hours went by. And all I remember that I hold on to is my eyes were just coming open, and all I could see was my grandfather waving his hand in a jokingly disgust towards me and saying, just let him sleep. Because I must have fallen asleep throughout the day. I had so much, I was just relaxed so much. And he was going to leave me out there until I fell asleep.
There you go.
I love that. And he was a man who grew up in the Great Depression. I mean, they shot animals to live. I mean, I can't tell you how many groundhogs that man told me that he fed his family with. So, and to still be able to enjoy it and things. And really it was just age that took that away from him. He couldn't hold a gun up to his shoulder and all that anymore, but man, did he have a lot of stories. We would sit there just like you picture in a Rockwell painting, you know, you sit there and all of us are gathered around his rocking chair and he's telling us these stories of growing up, and a lot of it involved things like that. So that's really, really important.
The story that I get asked to tell a lot as I travel, because I said it a couple times, is I was 10 or 11 and my grandfather said it's time for him to go out. My brother could hunt on his own. So he was at the top of the mountain. My grandfather and I hiked up. He started a fire on this mountain and he had brought some food to eat. Of course, we're not going to see any deer because I'm climbing trees, but that's not why we were there. And grandfather had some potatoes with us. And every time I get home now, all the nephews and nieces want to hear this baked potato story. And so he made them in the fire. He said, hey, it's time to eat. We didn't see any deer. I don't even think he loaded his gun, to be honest with you. I open up the potatoes. And I ask, where's the butter? Well, this is a guy who came through the Depression, worked in the railroad. And the look he gave me, like, you got to be kidding me, you know? So I tell that story. And, you know, again, we weren't wearing the best boots. He had an old shotgun, probably with a pumpkin ball in it. It wasn't out there to get a buck. It was at introducing me to the woods. And, you know, that was, well, that's a long time ago when I was that small, but. That just, to this day, that's what keeps me going. And I found this organization. It just let me, it was like, wow, this fits what I want to do.
Yeah, that's how you're carrying on that tradition. And for all of us, in my opinion, that not just for yourself, you're helping us be able to carry on traditions like that for our entire families and our lineage. So, man. What okay, so you said you're not a good fly fisherman. By the way, I'm a guide. I can help with that.
Okay.
But do you have a fishing story that kind of sticks out for you? Maybe it's that elusive fish that you were after, or somebody stumbled and accidentally caught it, or something of that sort.
You know, I do. We did trout fish. No. As we got older, we wanted to trout fish. So my grandfather stayed sucker fishing, and my brother and I walk up and down the stream. We caught a lot of fish. A lot of great experiences. The funny one was, back in the day, I can remember, I think it was Spruce Creek, we're fishing, and all of a sudden, we weren't allowed to go down any further on the stream. And my grandfather, there was a gentleman there. My grandfather was annoyed. And here, President Carter was down there fly fishing. So we weren't allowed to get down the stream anymore. And we had I caught a trout that day. I can specifically remember that. We only caught one trout. But that one, it's not really a fishing story, but I can remember. And we didn't see them or anything, but they're like, you can't go any further down the stream. But I spent thousands of hours fishing. And then eventually I got into fly fishing. I caught some fish on a fly. I buy my flies. I don't tie them. But it's, I guess some people have that massive trout. I have trout mounted. Obviously we caught some big ones with the kids. I think it's accumulation of stories.
Yeah.
The memories that drive you.
Yeah, our motto is, it's not about the destination, it's the journey that makes you. And that keeps us in the right perspective, we think. It's everything that comes along with the process as we move along and as we grow as sportsmen and fishermen and conservationists and hunters and everyone else. And hummingbird, whatever that classification is, which is just amazing. Yeah. I've never heard that ever. So I can understand your appreciation for that experience. Man, those things all matter.
I tell you the thing we do here. I visited Lebanon County. They take veterans from the VA to a pond to fish for trout. Mm. And I get involved in that. And that's, I'm not catching them. But I tell you what, you're bringing some joy to some life, you know, to their lives, these people that served our country.
Yeah.
There's docks there, so there's people in wheelchairs. To me, that's a great fishing story, you know, to help them. And this organization that we go with, it's just tremendous. What an opportunity. So that's another thing that fuels me. Like, well, I want more opportunity for women, our veterans, our wounded veterans, and the PFSC is involved in all of that.
That is absolutely fantastic. Excuse me. Man, so when I first when Catherine kind of suggested this discussion with you, or at least with an officer from the organization, it was one of those things that it was more intimidating than anything I've done so far or probably will ever do, because I've mentioned this before in other podcasts. I have kind of a steamroller approach to how I learn things. So if I haven't invested a lot of time into learning things or about things, I become incredibly intimidated and probably stay a lot more quiet and listen, because I don't want to make myself become a fool in front of people. But I'm thankful that, you know, you're a guy. You're not anything like, I didn't really have many preconceived conditions, but knowing, you know, the idea, especially in our climate today, as far as culture and politics go, you have almost a detest that's out there. And I want to thank you that you broke that within moments of our conversation here. And it's really important to realize that, you know, you are a person that you're doing this because of the impact the outdoors and your grandfather and others probably have had on you and the importance of it and helping to carry that on. And I'm saying that as encouragement to you, but I'm also saying that as encouragement to our listeners that, you know, don't push away from things like this and organizations like this. Get your hands dirty with this. I've been complaining. Here's a on air, throw myself under the bus. I've been complaining about a local fly shop that has been on Streamside for probably 50 years or more, and no stream improvements have ever been done, but tons and tons and tons of fish get put into this stream. And today I want to say that I was invited for free. Somebody actually bought me a ticket to the Trout Unlimited that's responsible. Now, I know we're talking national and then small group here, but sure, this is just an example that the guy said to me. He goes, you know, we're doing stream improvements. Not necessarily the stream I'm talking about. And the challenge was, if you're going to complain about it, get your hands dirty. And okay, I've done things fine. And this is kind of where I'm going with that, is my challenge to our listeners, that I don't think we get to take these things for granted. The thing, our freedoms and our ability to go out and fish and take family out. Folks like you and many others in this organization are doing things about that. And we need to get involved too, instead of complaining about it.
That is so true. So true. I went with a group of people that go back almost 3 miles into a mountain, and they have conversion wells where they put high calcium limestone in the stream to bring the acidity level to a degree where trout can live. And without these old guys doing this for 30 years, that stream couldn't have trout. And it's such a well-fished stream because of those guys that do that. I get to meet people like that all the time. that do that every Sunday, shovel. I mean, what a job, you know, what an opportunity I have to meet people that have passion like that. It's like living a dream. It really is.
I love that. And man, I know there's a creek in the Laurel Highlands that I was told that in certain times of the year, they will pump water, but that's interesting. I've never heard that. That's wow. That's really, really interesting. I mean, that's commitment to stream quality at a whole nother level. Wow.
Oh, these they've been doing it for over 30 years.
Wow.
I mean, and they go up every Sunday, ice, snow, and they're conversion wells, and they pump them in, and that water comes through, and it's coming right out of the mountain, and it's not clean. But boy, that converts it. You can get down 20 yards in the stream and there's trout.
Wow, that's really cool.
I like I said, what an opportunity I have. I'm getting so much enjoyment, it's unbelievable.
Oh man. Well, let's just take a couple minutes and kind of wrap this up, because you seem like you're the kind of gentleman I could probably go on here for quite a while just listening to stories and your excitement, because man, you've met a lot of people and a lot doing a lot of different things, and you could probably write a couple books just describing those. Is there anything that you kind of like to leave everybody with? And like I said earlier on in this, just have the freedom to do so.
Well, this is all I can tell people. What you said is so true. Get your hands dirty. And what I mean by that is get involved in your local outdoor organization. Get involved in a county organization. Do something that you leave where you hunt or fish better than the way you found it. And join the PFSC. Look us up. Visit us at the Outdoor Show. I'll be in Altoona. Call me. I will come talk to any group. But get involved so that your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren are saying, I can do this today because my pap years ago did it for me. So get involved. Please join us so that we have more of a voice in Harrisburg, more of a presence, and we can continue all the hard work that we're doing. Please join us.
My friends, I know I say this all the time, but what a fantastic conversation. Mr. Dwight Dunmire, Vice President of the PFSC, the Pennsylvania Federation of Sportsmen and Conservationists. Man, chase these links down that I put in the show notes here and avail yourself to these folks as a resource, but even more importantly, make yourself a resource to this organization. Wow, what a fantastic guy. You know, I'm going to say this on air now because I'm going to throw myself under the bus again. I did not do enough homework on this dear man. And he did homework on me. He listened to my podcast, and he either remembered or he took notes. Man, that alone, Dwayne, when you hear this, that alone, bless me. It challenged me, and I appreciate that, because we need to be more givers than we are takers, and we need to genuinely be invested in the people that we're around and that we have conversations with, and in the organizations that matter, like Pennsylvania Federation of Sportsmen and Conservationists. Get involved. Look up Dwayne. Get him to your school, to your group, to your youth group. Let him talk about these things that matter to so many sportsmen and sportswomen out there. Fly fishers that are listening to this, this is a podcast about fly fishing and life. And man, you know, it's a crazy thing when people say, I don't talk about religion or I don't talk about politics. Like I said earlier, that is a comment about religion and about politics. Those are political views and religious views that one just stated. But why would we not want to talk about the laws that govern us and the people that create those laws? Why would we not want to be involved somehow in that? And of course, not talking about religion today, but the same goes, right? So get involved. Follow these links. And friends, thank you for joining me. Thank you for listening. This is podcast number, I think, 11 or 12 right now. Man, what a ride the last couple months have been. Thank you so much, truly, for listening. It is humbling that a nobody like me, that people have chosen to listen and come on and chat with me. People that are doing work far greater than I've done and may ever do for that matter. So, till the next time, friends, keep your lines wet and your flies in the fish's mouth. God bless.